Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Not All Roads Lead to Heaven, Devotional, 100 Daily Readings About Our Only Hope for Eternal Life, by Dr. Robert Jeffress. Narrated by Stephen Bowlby. Day 1. Christianity's Most Offensive Belief. The gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Right now, conservative Christians are waffling and wavering on the foundational belief of Christianity, that salvation is available only through Jesus Christ. A recent Pew survey revealed that 44% of American Christians, including almost a fourth of evangelical Christians, say that other religions can lead to eternal life in heaven. You may say, as long as I believe in Jesus, what difference does it make if there are other ways to heaven? The difference it makes is this. What you believe about the exclusivity of Christ for salvation determines whether you spend eternity in heaven or in hell. If you think that's an exaggeration, consider this illustration. Suppose you want to drive from Houston to Dallas, but instead of driving south to Houston, you mistakenly go north to Oklahoma. No matter how sincere you are, if you keep traveling north, you will never get to Houston. You are going the wrong way. Jesus said if you want to get to heaven, there's only one way to get there. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. The way to heaven is narrow, and it is only through Jesus Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Why do you think the exclusivity of Christ for salvation matters? Lord, thank you for providing a way for me to have eternal life in heaven with you. Help me to stand strong in the belief that salvation comes only through your Son. Day 2. Finding the right way to heaven. How can a man be in the right before God? Job chapter 9, verse 2. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, Jesus said the way to heaven is narrow, and few people find it. He also slammed the door on any possibility of another route to heaven. In John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Let's say you've decided that Jesus is the only way to heaven and you're trusting in him, but then you find out Jesus was wrong about that. You discover that, in fact, there are many roads to heaven. If Jesus is wrong, then he can't be the Son of God because God knows everything. If Jesus isn't the Son of God, then when he died on the cross, he died for his own sins, not for our sins. And Christianity is false. If Christianity isn't true, then that still doesn't help you determine which road to get on to go to heaven, because there are thousands of religions you can choose from. So, if Jesus is wrong, how do you find the right way to heaven? This issue of the exclusivity of Christ is the essence of Job chapter 9, verse 2. How can a man be in the right before God? How you answer that question affects not only your eternal destiny, but the destiny of your family, your friends, and the entire world. That's why it's crucial to understand the doctrine of the exclusivity of Christ, so that you can stand firm in your beliefs and point people around you to the only way to heaven. How does the belief that Jesus is the only way to heaven affect your faith? How would your faith be different if there were actually many ways to heaven? Lord, I'm trusting in you for my salvation. Give me opportunities to show other people the only way they too can be in the right before you. Day 3. Christians are being outfought. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Why are Christians in America losing the battle for the exclusivity of Jesus Christ for salvation? First of all, were being outfought on the issue of exclusivity. This issue is ground zero for the larger battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. It's the heart of everything God is trying to do and everything Satan is trying to do. The eternal issue for humanity is this: will you accept God's way of forgiveness through Christ, or will you try to manufacture your own way to God? Ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, humans have attempted to cover their sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they tried to manufacture their own covering of fig leaves to cover their guilt. That didn't work. God came to them. He killed an animal, took the skin of that animal, and offered it as a covering for Adam and Eve. They had a choice. They could keep their own self-manufactured covering, or they could accept God's covering. That's what the word atonement means. It means covering. Adam and Eve accepted God's covering for their sin. Later, they had a son named Cain. Cain tried to approach God on his own terms, and God rejected Cain's approach. Every false religion is an adaptation of the way of Cain, trying to approach God on your own terms. The largest issue we face in life is this: will we follow God's way of salvation, or will we follow our own way? Have you tried to manufacture your own covering for your sin? What was the result? How does our choice of covering reflect the battle between God and Satan? God, I'm grateful for the covering you have provided for my sin. Help me to understand the importance of choosing to accept your way of forgiveness. Day 4. Why Satan loves religion. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. Because we were created as spiritual beings, we all have a desire to be connected to God. And Satan knows that. That's why Satan doesn't hate religion. He loves religion, because it appeals to our desire to be reconciled to God. Satan uses religion to deceive people away from the true way of knowing God. For example, let's say you're lost in a mountain range at night, but there is a single star illuminating the only way to safety. That's a no-brainer. You follow the light. But suppose instead of one light, there are 1,000 lights that each illuminate a different path, and 999 of those paths will lead you over a cliff. Suddenly it's much more confusing, isn't it? It's the same way with the world's religions. Satan uses religion as a false light to lead people away from the true light, Jesus Christ. That's why we cannot underestimate Satan's desire to deceive people away from Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said, "Satan is a liar." In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, "Satan comes only to steal and kill and destroy." Satan's number one aim is to take as many people to hell as possible. And how is he doing it? By deceiving people into following other religions that turn people away from faith in Jesus Christ alone. Most people don't understand that we're in a spiritual battle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, Paul said, but against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We are being outfought on the issue of the exclusivity of Christ. How does Satan use false religion to deceive people? What can you do to fight back against this deception and point people to the true light of the world? Lord, I know we're in a spiritual battle for the message of the gospel. Help me to recognize Satan's schemes and give me the courage to combat his lies with your truth. Day 5. Christians are being out-argued. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Christians in America are losing the battle about the exclusivity of Christ because, frankly, we're being out-argued by the world on this issue. Sometimes people wonder why I spend time and effort in the secular media. I think about a story I heard from an associate of Jerry Falwell. He said one time he was with Dr. Falwell, who always gave interviews in the secular media, and this interview had been a particularly tough one. After the interview, Dr. Falwell got in the car with this associate, and the associate said, "Dr. Falwell, why do you subject yourself to that? Why do you let people beat up on you in the media like that?" Jerry smiled and said, "Just think about it. I got 4 minutes to share biblical truth with millions of people, and it didn't cost us a cent to do it." It's always wise to take advantage of those opportunities to share God's truth. We have to present God's truth because the Christian message is being distorted by the media today. For example, the issue of the sanctity of life has been twisted into a war on women's health. The conviction that marriage should be between one man and one woman has been twisted into hatred and bigotry. The good news that Christ has offered forgiveness to everyone who believes in him has been twisted into a message of intolerance and condemnation of sincere followers of other faiths. Christians are being out-argued, so we have to take advantage of opportunities to share the truth of God's Word. In what ways have you seen the Christian message being distorted? How do you take advantage of opportunities to share God's truth instead? God, it can be frustrating to see your message distorted by the world. May I take advantage of opportunities to share the truth of your word, and may the people around me be receptive. Day 6. You are God's representative. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. In order for Christians not to be out-argued on the issue of the exclusivity of Christ for salvation, we have to take advantage of opportunities to share God's truth. We have to be willing to argue God's point of view in the public square, but we also have to be equipped to do so. Think about the Apostle Paul. When he argued for the gospel, he came armed not just with Scripture, but also with compelling reasoning and logic and vivid illustrations to undergird those logical points. And I believe we're going to have to do the same if we're going to win this argument in the public square. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul said, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." God left you and me here for one reason: to be God's mouthpieces in this world. You are the final link in a long chain of events between God and another person who needs to hear the gospel message. And that's why God has left us here, to be his representatives and share his message that Jesus Christ is the only way to receive the gift of eternal life. But if we're going to be effective in that assignment, we have to know what the message is, and we have to be prepared to share that message in the public square. Are you sometimes hesitant to share God's truth? What keeps you from taking advantage of opportunities to argue for the Christian message? Heavenly Father, I know you have called me to be your representative. Forgive me for being afraid or ashamed, and give me courage to take your message to those who need to hear it. Day 7. Christians are being outmarketed. The God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Not only are Christians being outfought and out-argued, but we're also being outmarketed on the issue of the exclusivity of Jesus Christ for salvation. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, when Paul describes Satan as the prince of the power of the air, I wonder if he had in mind what Ann Sweeney, former president of Disney ABC Television Group, referred to as the most powerful medium in the world, television. Television is a very powerful medium. Did you know the average American adult spends 3 hours a day watching television and another 2.5 hours watching digital video? Think of the messages that are being endlessly pumped into people's minds. When it comes to the issue of spirituality, the message coming from television is antagonistic toward the idea that there's only one way to be saved, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. And not only television, but radio, movies, print, the internet, all spewing forth a lie that there are many ways to God other than faith in Christ. It's true that Christians are trying to utilize the media as well to voice opposition to that message of inclusivism. We're trying to drown it out, but frankly, it's impossible to drown out. The good news is that we don't have to. You see, this battle about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ is not an air war, it's a ground war, and the foot soldiers are you and me. In what ways have you seen the world marketing the lie that there are many ways to heaven? What can you do to combat this marketing? Lord, when it seems like the gospel message is being drowned out, help me to remember that your word stands forever. Give me the strength to continue spreading your truth. Day 8. The Ground War for the Gospel. Equip the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. More than 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ entrusted to 12 people the message that He is the way of salvation. And those 12 took that message and spread it to others, who spread it to others, who spread it to others. And 2,000 years later, the message that Christ is the only way to God is still going stronger than ever. This is a ground war, not a war over control of the airwaves. God's plan is to equip people just like you with that message to take to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, I'm not saying utilizing media isn't important. Our church places a lot of emphasis on television, radio, and the internet, and we're having fantastic results. We are grateful for winning many unbelievers, but the real goal of our ministry is the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. God wants you to be equipped. If you're a student, He wants you to be equipped so you can go into that classroom debate and logically present why Christ is the only way to salvation. If you have a job, He wants you to be able to go into that break room in your business and have a conversation with other people about the exclusivity of the gospel. He wants you to be able to articulate to that family member or friend why Christ is the only way to be saved. That's God's plan for getting this message out. It's a ground war. Do you feel equipped to share the gospel message and argue God's point of view? What steps can you take to better prepare yourself? God, I want to be able to effectively share the message that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Help me to be proactive in becoming a better soldier for your kingdom. Day 9. Compelling Reasoning. The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. God has appointed you and me to be His representatives on earth, sharing the message that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. If we're going to be effective in marketing the gospel, then we need to be equipped with compelling reasoning. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, the apostle says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." We need to be ready to explain the gospel to anyone who asks us. How do we get equipped to do that? Well, nothing is more powerful than God's Word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." But it's not enough to spout off Bible verses to people. Take the example of Paul. He didn't just quote Bible verses. He used the Word of God, but he also explained the Word of God. Paul presented logical arguments that flowed out of Scripture, and he came up with interesting illustrations to drive home the point that Christ is the only way to be saved. If we're going to be effective foot soldiers for Christ, We need compelling reasoning. Are you able to explain the gospel to anyone who asks you? How would you use Scripture to argue for the exclusivity of Christ for salvation? Lord, your word says I need to be ready to give an account for the hope that is in me. Thank you for giving me examples such as the Apostle Paul to look to for guidance. Day 10. Unwavering Resolve. Brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. In order to be successful in marketing the gospel message, we need an unwavering resolve. If you're committed to sharing the exclusivity of Christ, don't be surprised at the pressure you will encounter to compromise on this issue. Back in high school, I was president of the student council. One of my duties was to lead the prayer at the first football game of the season. We were playing a school with a large Jewish population, and the officials pulled me aside and said, "In your prayer, please do not say in Jesus' name. That would be offensive to many people here tonight." I had dedicated my life to being a pastor, so I thought, if I'm going to begin my ministry by denying the only name under heaven by which we can be saved, then I don't have any reason being in the ministry. That night, I prayed with evangelistic fervor. But since that time, I've seen the pressure to compromise on this issue intensify on every Christian. You felt that pressure to compromise, haven't you? Christians are being bullied by those outside the faith and badgered by those inside the faith to be more inclusive about the people God allows into heaven. The problem is, we don't have the authority or the ability to do that. God has established who can enter heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, "The gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." Have you felt pressured to be more inclusive about the people God allows into heaven? How do you respond? What better way could you have responded? God, it is you, not me or anyone else, who decides who can enter heaven. When I feel pressured to compromise on this issue, give me an unwavering resolve to stand firm on your truth. Day 11. The Temptation of Universalism. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Every week, my email inbox is filled with all kinds of interesting questions. Is it all right for Christians to be cremated? Are the 6 days of creation in Genesis literal 24-hour days? I think you would agree that, as intriguing and perhaps even important as those questions are, they're secondary in importance to this question. Are there many ways to get to heaven when you die, or is there only one way to get to heaven? There are four prevalent views today about who will be in heaven. The first of these is universalism. Universalism is the belief that everybody goes to heaven. Former pastor Rob Bell popularized this view in his book, Love Wins. He said, "Millions have been taught that if they don't believe, if they don't accept in the right way, that is, the way the person telling them the gospel does, and they were hit by a car and died later that same day, God would have no choice but to punish them forever in conscious torment in hell. A loving Heavenly Father who will go to extraordinary lengths to have a relationship with them would, in the blink of an eye, become a cruel, mean, vicious tormentor. That kind of God is simply devastating, psychologically crushing. We can't bear it." In other words, universalists say they can't conceive of a God who would send people to hell, and therefore, God must not be like that. But that contradicts the truth of Scripture. Have you ever been tempted to think, surely God would never send people to hell? How would you respond to someone who feels this way? What does Scripture say? Lord, protect me from the temptation to imagine you however I want, rather than as who you are. Remind me of the truth you've revealed in Scripture. Day 12. the appeal of pluralism. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Are there many ways to get to heaven, or is there only one way? Universalists say that everybody goes to heaven, regardless of what they believe. A second prevalent belief about who goes to heaven is pluralism. Pluralism restricts salvation to religious people, regardless of what their religion is. Pluralists maintain that all religions are equally valid. They would say there's a place in hell for drug dealers, murderers, and rapists, but good people, religious people, will go to heaven. They will say all religions are like different paths up the same mountain that leads to God. You can understand why this view is prevalent when you look at the number of people who follow other religions. According to a Pew Research Center report, in 2017, the world was populated by 1.8 billion Muslims, 1.1 billion Hindus, 500 million Buddhists, and 400 million followers of folk religions, in addition to the 2.3 billion people classified as Christians. And you don't have to go to a distant country to find people who subscribe to those other religions. They're likely living right next door to you. That's why, as this country becomes increasingly diverse, pluralism becomes increasingly popular. Pluralism allows us to send really bad people to hell, but it also allows us to let people of all religions into heaven. It doesn't require us saying, your religion is wrong. But even though pluralism is appealing, it isn't biblical. What would you say to somebody who believes that all religions are just different paths to God? Do you find it difficult to say that someone else's religion is wrong? God, you have said there's only one way to approach you, not many ways. Help me find the right words to effectively share this truth with the people around me. Day 13. The Problem with Inclusivism. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Some people answer the question about who will be in heaven with a third view called inclusivism. Inclusivism holds that the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross is the only means by which people can be saved, but that a person can be saved by Christ without personally trusting in Christ. In other words, people who have never heard the gospel and simply believe in a revelation of God they see somewhere in creation go to heaven. And if somebody follows another religion that's kind of close to Christianity and just calls Jesus by another name, then that person will go to heaven as well. Inclusivists agree with Peter's statement in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Inclusivists would say, "Amen, I believe that." They believe Christ is the means by which people go to heaven, but they're quick to add that there are people who will be in heaven who have never trusted in Christ. In other words, they say people can receive the gift of salvation without knowing who the sender of the gift is. Here's the problem with that view. In the New Testament, there's always a link between salvation and personal belief. In fact, you cannot find one example in the New Testament of anybody who was saved without personally trusting in Jesus as Savior. Have you personally believed in Jesus and Jesus alone for your salvation? If not, when will you make the decision to place your trust in Him? God, thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross and save me from my sins. May I put my trust in Christ alone for my salvation and continue to rely on you every day. Day 14. The Truth of Exclusivism. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Universalism, pluralism, and inclusivism are three popular ways to answer the question of who goes to heaven. But I think the fourth prevalent view of who will be in heaven is also the only biblical one, exclusivism. Exclusivism.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?